Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Avodah Zarah Lamed Gimel. We begin 16-17 lines off the top of the Amud Noidos, Ho'ev Dekoychav Bekan Kanehem. So once again, back to the Mishnah discussing Yayin Esach concerns. So we have Noidos, we have Kankanam, Rashi explains. Noidos shel oir, made of leather. These are leather liquid, containers, liquid pouches used to, house, whether it's water, wine. Kankanam says Rashi shel cheres, made of pottery, made of clay. Okay, so we have either noidos, these leather containers, or kankanam, pottery, earthenware containers, which were used by the guy for his needs, including the non-kosher wine. What are their status with respect to a yid now using them for kosher wine? So, as we want to see in today's daf, there are many variations, different types of kelim made of different types of materials, meant for various levels of usage, short term, long term. It all depends on that. So in some cases, a simple rinse would suffice, clean them out and use them, assuming that based on the assumption that the kli didn't really absorb much of the non-kosher wine or at all. Then we have cases where they're deemed to have absorbed even more residue, in which case they're laden with residue and there's a concern about the walls, the material of the kli, releasing some of that non-kosher wine into your new content, getting mixed in, getting sort of exchanged. So that exchange would actually affect the content because it gets tainted through the non-kosher residue. So in some cases, you have to age it for 12 months, let the container sit and dry up a full 12 months, in which case the moisture has evaporated, has dried up, and poses no longer a concern. Or you can do the milui shloisha yamin, which means that you'll fill it, keep it filled with water for 3 days, exchanging the water every 24 hours. What that does is it softens the wall material, the pores sort of loosen up, and it affects a release of that embedded residue and cleans it. Then in some cases, as we're going to see, there's no solution at all. It's so saturated, so fully laden with the non-kosher material that it cannot be used at all. Okay, so either a quick rinse, the 3 day system / 12 months, and then we have no solution at all. Okay, so let's see. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braisa as follows. Noidos, again, noidos are these leather pouches, these containers made of leather, of animal hide. Noidos, which are not really very absorbent, Rashi says. The oir is loy bala oir, is man muat, just if it's used for a short period, it doesn't really absorb too easily. So we have noidos ha'ivdei kachavim, made used by goyim. Oh, it depends. Grudim literally means scraped. So it's just a plain leather. It's not been treated or coated with anything. They would coat it with some tarry, pitchy type of substance to serve as a sort of a protection or whatever, and it would actually be very absorbent. Maybe it was made to waterproof it. In any case, if it does not have that treatment, grudim is just plain leather. Chadashim, and it's also new. Either never used or even just slightly used. That's still okay, as Rashi says, because a quick, short usage wouldn't really allow the walls to absorb the non-kosher material. So grudim, chadashim. So you have to have it untreated, plus that it's new, brand new, or almost brand new, mutar, and then you can use it for your material without a concern of bliyos in the walls of the kli. But if it's yishanim, you see they've been used for a while, in which case they're certainly saturated with yayin esach, or umizufafin, they have the zephes, this pitch treatment. They're coated with zephes, which, as Rashi explains, makes it really super absorbent, and even from one-time use, it's already full of yayin esach. Ah, surin, those containers are off limits for us. Now, oivet kechavim rivivon, Suppose you have a brand new pouch in the process of being produced. They're making the thing, and now the guy is involved in coating the Rivvon means he's coating the interior of the pouch. So you have, right, you have a leather pouch, and now the guy is involved in coating it. Tosi says Rivvon is lashon like Ravav. We find in Gemara Atam Tchachem can have a Ravav, a fatty, like a spot on his beged. So the guy is adding the pitch, the water proof lining, v'ibdan, you know, he's involved in doing that. Now the standard practice, explains Rashi, was to pour a bit of wine into the hot zephes. Why? Zephes, as Rashi, to serve as an antidote, to override, to temper the bitterness, some sort of bitterness in the zephes. So in order to counteract that, they would add some wine as a counter effect. Problem is, the guy is handling the wine. And by doing so, it makes the wine usher. So what do? V'nosan sechanyai, she's putting wine into the material. V'yisrol em nagav, there's a yid standing over him, supervising him, ensuring that he's not playing games with the wine, is not pouring it to the Avodah Zarah. Einai chayshish. There goes our concern. We're not concerned about Yai Nesach because there's somebody standing above him. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? But he's handling it. The guy is. In full view of the Yisrael, it doesn't help us. If the guy is the one pouring the wine, what gain is there having the Jew standing over him? Fact is, he's handling the wine. So wine handled by a guy is also. Amar Papa, you're right. We've got to switch the case. Hachikam the Brisa means, Oivet kechavim rivivon v'ibdan. So the guy is actually doing the coating. But who's pouring the wine? The Yisrael. The Yisrael, Nesel Nesechon Yayin. We're not done. The Yisrael, Achar Emed Al-Gabav. Provided there's another supervisor standing above, over him. So you have the guy handling the barrel. Lining the pouch, and the Yisrael is doing the pouring of the wine, and plus you have another Yisrael supervising him. Then you're safe. Ein yachashish. As Gemara, now you're going to the other extreme. Before it was the guy pouring, now it's the Yisrael pouring, and another person. What are you two people there? Miachad Yisrael neisin sechen yayin. Yisrael is adding the wine. Yisrael acher eimad agabav lomeli. Why bother with another Yisrael supervising? Lomeli answers the Gemara. Because the Yisrael worker is perhaps preoccupied with what he's doing, and he might not notice that the guy, might grab a little wine on the side and touch it and whatever. So you need somebody else standing on top of both of them. Perhaps since due to the Yisrael's preoccupation, the guy will take the opportunity and grab some wine and pour it without the Yisrael noticing. Hence the second supervisor. Rav Zid Amar, he says, I'll tell you very simple. Lo'ilam kidika amars mi'ikara. Let's go with the initial description of events. So it's the guy doing everything with the Yisrael supervising. Question. Well, if the guy is handling the wine, then that makes the wine usher. The answer is like this. He's using it as an additive to the pitch. Since he's not just he's just pouring it into that tar, when he's pouring it in, it's like, for example, a person pouring water into cement while he's making cement. Rashi explains, so what happens is that water eventually evaporates together with the moisture evaporation of the cement, or in this case the pitch, the tar. So ultimately, there's no real moisture left in there. So there goes any concern about Yayin Nesel. There's no real wine there. Other Rishonim learned that what the Gemara means, there's no concern of Nisuch. The guy is not pouring it up by the Zohar if he's pouring it up a bowl of a pail of tar. It's going to Ibud. It's getting lost, getting destroyed. Right? There's no wine intact any longer. throwing it in as an ingredient to the tar, so that doesn't constitute nisuch, and that would not affect the status of the wine. Omar Papi. Okay, so based on this, Shmami no, Midrash Zvid, let's take Rav Zvid a step further. If the previous case poses no concern of Yain Nesach, so likewise in the following case, Hayavid Gilcham, you have a goy, the Shadar Chamra, who tosses some wine, Libi Milchi, into a bowl of salt, the straw belonging to a Yid, Shari. It's perfectly fine because it's no longer deemed liquid. It gets absorbed into the salt. Mask of La Rav Ashi, how could you compare two stories? Midomi, how do you compare Hasam Kazali Ibud? Yeah, pouring it into pitch destroys the wine. Well, as Rashi explains, eventually evaporates, you have nothing left. Hachalik Azali Ibud, in this case, it's not so. It's not getting destroyed, it's staying as a flavor, being retained as a flavor in the salt. And that flavor is also. There was a fellow called Bar Adi. He was a Taya, a Seicher Yishmael, a Yishmaeli merchant. He needed some containers, and he grabbed them from a Yid. Anas, he grabbed, he forcibly took Hanuziki, these leather pouches, Miravitzov Bar Yosef, and he used it for his own wine, Rama Buchamra. And then after a while, he no longer needed them, he gave them back. Hashavas Gazela. Adrin Ale gave it back to the Yid. No, can he use it for kosher wine once it's been used by the Goy? Also, Shol Ben Midrash. So he came to the Beis Medrash to ask the Shaila. Amli Rav Yirmiya. So Rav Yirmiya told him, I'll tell you what to do. Certainly, we assume there's residue absorbed in the walls, so you got to clean them out. How do we clean out these containers, which had been used with only cold, we assume? So it's a different system. It doesn't require real hagolah, like with hot water. So this is what you do. Kachira Rabbi Ami had ruled in a similar case. He had ruled as follows. Ha'achal ma'is, this is what you proceed. You fill it with water, mimal and ma'im. Fill them to the brim with water. Shloshiyam, 3 days in a row, consecutively, ma'aron, and you pour them out. What does that mean? Ba'marava, you have to do that process every 24 hours anew. Tzorach l'arom is every 24 hours. You fill, you pour. And eventually, after 3 days, the kli is deemed cleaned out. Savar mina, so the Bnei Yeshiva figured, hanimili didan. Perhaps this leniency is only effective for our containers, which had been used for kosher material initially. So since the wall material is, permeated with kosher material, so although it had been transferred to a goy for relatively short time for his own use, the assumption is that whatever non-kosher residue entered the walls was minor. So this 3-day system works. Aval didhuloy, but if it's been in the goy's possession all along, it's his container that you're trying to transfer and use for kosher material, perhaps the walls are so permeated, this 3-day system is not sufficient. No, says the Gemara, actually it is. Kiyasa Ravin, when he came, Amar Pshim Ben Lakshi quoted Halacha, Echad Shalana, whether it was ours to begin with, Echad Shalem, or theirs to begin with, you can employ the 3-day system. Savar Rav Achle, Breder Avel, Kamed Rav Ashi, Lemeimar. So once again, we have another question. Rav Acha, son of Rav, figure, he presented his theory to Rav Ashi as follows. Hani Mili Noides, perhaps that only works by leather pouches. As discussed earlier, the leather pouches are less absorbent, so we allow for this easy cleaning process. Avakan Kanam Le, what about clay containers? That doesn't work. Amar Le Rav Ashi, incorrect. Loishna Noides, Loishna Kan Kanam, whether it's leather, whether it's clay, and earthenware kelim, it works. Tan Rabbanon. Oh, talking about Kan Kanam, says the Gemara Kan Kanam Shleib Gechavim Chadosh. What about taking a Kan Kan from a goy? If it's brand new, and grudem, it's also uncoated with any pitch, with its wine content, so it's just plain clay, new clay kalim. Hirashi would point out that it was actually brand new. See, in contrast to the previous price, where Rashi says, well, even slight use is okay because it's leather, it doesn't absorb so easily. But Rashi there pointed out, Klei Cheres Bala La'altar, Klei Cheres absorbs immediately, it's very highly absorbent. So in this price, it has to really be brand new, spanking clean. And it's grudem, doesn't have that coating, then you're free to buy from the guy Mutar. But if it's Yishanim, if they're used, or Mezefafen, or internally coated with this waterproofing, asurin, you can't use them. Now, if you have this container, which the guy used for his wine, there's still a solution. Yisrael noisein l'soichan mayim. You can employ the three-day system. Pour water in there, keep it for a day, empty it out, exchange the water, etc. So even when we speak about this kankana being osur, but the three-day water system works. Oyvid kechav, another example of heter. Oyvid kechav noisein l'soichan yayin. So again, these barrels were used by the guy for his wine. Yisrael can now go ahead and burn it out using acidic material. Noisen sechen, tziru, murias. All the Yisrael needs to do is pour in some fish brine or fish juice, which are acidic, and will burn out the wine flavor of enechoshish, and going forward, there's no issue. Iboil, the question is this lachatchila? Is this something that you can actually do? Or only after the fact, we sort of allow it reluctantly. Does it really do an effective cleansing job? The chatchilo idea of it. Tashma, yeah, it's allowed. The toner of zvidbar, oishiyal keach kankanam naib kecham, purchases pitchers from a goy. Chadoshim, they're really brand new. Then you're free to use it for your wine. Noisen seichen yayin. Yishanim, if they've been used already and they're laden with illicit material, so then employ the brine solution and you're good. Noisen l'seichan tzir umurias l'chatchil. Apparently it is l'chatchil. Ba'aminei Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, he asked a question of Rabbi Ami. So we say you have to burn it out, you have to clean it out. What if you employ a very simple solution? You take the isser laden barrels, containers, and you put it back into the kivshon eish, into the hot furnace, and sort of burn it out there. Is that deemed effective? Hechziron the kivshon eish, v'nislavnu, and you see they're really burnt. They turn white in the fire and in the oven. And now we'd like to use it. Now, what's the status in that case? Armalei says for sure that's the best way. Tzir soidef, if even brine cleanses because it has that acidic effect, it burns it out. Soidef ur lekoshken, certainly a fire would have that effect, and it's certainly a good solution. Itmar nami, amar b'yechanam, amar amar b'asi, amar b'yechanam. This system works. Kankanam shleb geichav. You have this kankanam. Shechziru in kishon eish, which were placed back into the kiln. Kiva shenashu zifasan mehen. So how do you know when you got to the point where the moisture has totally evaporated and dried up? So take a look at the coating, right? The waterproofing, the zifasan. Once it sheds the coating mehen from the container, then you know if certainly it got past the breaking point. Mutarim amar v'ashi. It's not to say at the Nasran, you don't have to wait until it totally melts down and you ruin your kli. It just means to say that it got so hot that you see sort of the coating starting to separate, right? So it's starting to separate from the body of the kli. Then you know you're past the point. Loitema at the Nasran, you don't have to wait until it actually sheds it and melts it down. El afilu refoi mirpa, loosens it off the walls. Even if it hadn't yet melted it down, you're good to go, and then hopefully you can still salvage it by pasting it, pushing it back into place. What about kinsa? So putting the kli in the oven where it gets heated all around and gets really properly rebaked, that certainly is a solution. What about kinsa? Lighting a fire in the kinsa, these spindles. Right? Take little wood chips and light a fire inside the kli. After all, that's where the ayinesach was sitting, right? So does that serve the same purpose? Does it have the same effect? Does it solve the problem? Does it cleanse the kli from its moisture, from its residue? So that's a machlekes. Pligibor of Achav Ravina, machlekes between these two amiroim. One says it works, one says it doesn't. Chad Asar, one didn't allow this system. Rashi explains because, since the fire is inside, it's going to melt down the thing very quickly, right? So, before it really had a chance to clean out the walls of the kli. In contrast to the kivshon eish, where it's sitting surrounded by heat from all sides, which permeate it from side to side and really penetrate the walls properly, then you know you did a good job. So one says it's not a good solution, chad asr, chad chari, the other one says it's sufficient. Vilcha sukman, the asr, when we pass him that, it's not deemed reliable. Iboil, it comes a new shayv. Ma'u litin le'seichai sheikhar. So what about, we spoke about brine, we spoke about fire, cleaning out. What about sheikhar? Beer, which is also, you know, sharp and acidic, does it have the same effect as the other materials? Does it clean out the walls? Does it burn out the wine? Tesis actually learns, and Yushan and the Mepharshim explain, that according to that approach, Tesis' approach, it's not specific to beer. Rashi says, Tesis says, Hu adin mayim b'chal shar mashkin, except for wine. What Tesis means is that, fine, you didn't burn it out. The residue is still stuck in the walls, but it's a very small amount of residue because, after all, the kli was not really used, on fire. It wasn't used as it wasn't used for cooking, right? So whatever it absorbed but soinane. Soinane is in cold fashion, right? On the cold temperature. So in this case, right, we pose an interesting shiloh. What about just using it? So you can't put your wine in there because whatever bit of residue is in the wall is going to come out to the wine, mix it to your wine, and that's a problem. Because it pretty much reinforces the wine, right? It's not bottled to the wine because it's the same type. What about if it's a different type of liquid, water, or any other juice or beer, as the Gemara says? So are we concerned about this, minute amount of residue which will come out into the new content? But it's very, 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 very small percentage. And since it's a type of kli, it's a large kli, which is used for storing large quantities. It's called kli shadarku l'shtamash b'shefa. It's used for large quantities. So inevitably, any residue, any extraction from the walls will be negligible and will be bottled into this new material. So perhaps that in itself is a reason to allow. So that's the Gemara Shaiv. Ma'litin secha sheikh, what about using these large containers for kosher beer? Rav Nachum, Rav Yehuda Asri, they say it's not allowed. For Rava Shavar, he allowed it because it's bottled into the content. Or according to Rashi's pshat, the sheikhar burns out, the beer burns out, the serves as an antidote to the illicit material in the walls. Ravina Shavar le Rav Chia bar Rav Yitzchak. Ravina allowed Rav Chia bar Rav Yitzchak to use it for beer, the mirum b'shichra, to pour beer b'shichra into the container. Ozal Ram b'chamra, he mistakenly poured wine, which is certainly a problem. Says the Gemara, filu hachi, and still, even though his psak, his ruling, his allowance for beer, sort of, ended up being confused and got mixed up with wine, he wasn't concerned down the road that will happen again. Amar, he said, okay, it's a one-off, it's a mistake. Akroi ba'alma, who it happened, but it's a one-time occurrence. I still will promote my heter, which is you can use it for beer, and just be careful to stick with beer as opposed to wine. Rab Yitzchak Bar Bisna. So what happened to him? Havalei hanu, he had these mani, these containers, the pekusna made from animal waste, and Rashi says it was used for yayin esach, so it had non-kosher residue in the walls, and then he sought to clean them out, to use them for kosher. So he employed the 3-day water system, Malinu Maya, filled them with water, and then he put them out in the sun to heat up, thinking that would enhance the cleansing process. Boom, but these things burst due to the heat. They couldn't tolerate the heat. Puck when they burst, and he lost his containers. Humli Rabbi Abba, so Rabbi Abba told him, it's your fault. Asher sinu Allah, Yisrael lo'ilam. These things were, usher to use as is, but now you made it usher forever. Basically, you disabled it permanently. You can't use them. They're gone. Why'd you do that? Emo dam rabbanon. Emo dam rabbanon mamlinu. Maya, sure, the rabbanon advised to fill them with water and, do the 3-day system. But anuchi b'shem shami amr. Since when did they obligate to put it out in the sun, which causes them, which in this case caused them to get ruined? It wasn't necessary. Amr b'yosna. Amr rab ami. Clay Nesser, these are earthenware clay, kalim, made from something called Nesser, which is highly absorbent dirt. Ein l'tara lomas, you can't use them forever, meaning no system can be used to clean out these kelim because of their high absorbance. My clay nesa, what exactly is this? What's it made of? It's a clay made from the earth, from where they dig out, machperis, where they dig out the yitzrif, is some sort of mineral alum, Rashi says, used for detergent purposes, so it's highly absorbent, perhaps highly acidic. So this this kli is very, very, beleia, very, very absorbent, in which case, if it contains any isser material, there's really no way to cleanse it. The bay in the from the household, Parzuk, of this governor called Parzuk Rafilov, as she says, he was a high-ranking officer, he was a Sheni Lamelech, a vice president, in any case, a very high-ranking fellow, and he took the liberty of forcibly grabbing some containers for his use from the Yidden of Pumpadis Anas. He grabbed Hanikubi, these clay containers, Pumpadis, from the Jews in Pumpadis, to use for his wine, Rama Buchamra, he poured his wine into the containers, and after a while he returned them. No, can we use them? Asul Kamei, Asul Shailul Rav Yehuda. They came to ask Rav Yehuda. Amar, he says, listen, these are just, decanters, these are bottles, these are not things which are meant to house liquids for a long time. It's not a kli which is meant for long-term storage. So we assume, it was just used, for a temporary, momentary use here and there. Don't worry about it. Meshach shulchan b'mayim b'mutarim. Just give them a quick rinse, and they're okay. So again, these were clay kelim, but since they had been originally used by the Yidden for kosher material, so any residue that may have come later from the guy was very minor, considering that it was just a short type of use, type of material, type of kli. A quick rinse in mutarim, and they're good to go. Amar Rav Avira, another example of a similar type of non-absorbent situation. Hani chatzvi, so these barrels or these pitchers, shechimi, these reddish ones. So it's made from reddish earth, which is not very very absorbent. Darmai, belonging to the gayim. So can I use these barrels? Kivan to libali tuva, since they don't really absorb much due to their toughness. Meshach shechan b'mayim mutar, and just give them a rinse. B'mayim, with water, and they're okay. Amar papi. Another example of such, Hani Pasvasa, these are clay cheres, the Bay Michsi, from this town called Bay Michsi. Rashi said it's a place, Shakarki Isai Kasha, with very tough earth. So again, it's hardened and it's not very absorbent. Kivin Lebalituva, since they don't really absorb much. So even if they've been used by a guy, Meshachshu Mamayim, just rinse them with water, Matar, and you can use them. What about Kasi? These are Kaisa Shal Cheres, says Rashi. They're not meant for long-term use, long-term storage. You just use for drinking. So these clay cups. Okay, so Rav Asi says, if the guy used it for Yayin Esach, you can no longer use it for kosher unless you do the three-day system. Or as Rashi said earlier, either the three-day system or to Lash Oysam, Ashnei Mesor Chodesh, wait it out for 12 months until it's fully dried. So that's Rav Asi's opinion. Rav Ashi Shor, he says you can use them even without this three-day system. Just give them a rinse and you're okay. Now, it all depends at what point the guy used them. When they were brand new, in which case they certainly absorbed a lot. The first time they were used, they really absorbed much. So, Isha Sibu Evit Kecham Pam Rishoin, if the guy was the one who used it the first time that it was used, then certainly we have a concern. Kul Yamal Pligi the Asr, all agree it's Asr because it's full of Yayin Esel. He Pligi Bam Sheni. Machlaikas applies to the second time. So the Jew used it the first time, in which case it got sort of saturated with kosher wine, and the guy used it. So the Machlaikas is how to deal with it at that point. Ikad Amri, some had a different version. Pamrishan Rishani. These new cups, if they were used by the guy for his material, first or second time, Kuliam Le Pliga, the Asr all agree, the Kli is laden with Yayin Esach, it's Asr, Ki Pliga Pam Gimel. The question is, if the Jew used it the first two times, and the guy took it for the third use, then it's already fully saturated. Any residue is very slight. And the question is how to deal with it. So the conclusion of the Gemara is that in fact, Pam Rishon Mishani, also the first two times, poses a problem, Gimel Mutar, but if you only use it the third time around, then you don't have to employ any of these serious cleansing processes. Amar Avzvit, here comes a brand new type of kli high money. These kelim de kunya. Kunya was an earthenware keli, a kli cheres, that was metzupa be'ever, was coated with a lead coating. According to Tosfos, a type of glass coating, which makes it less absorbent, right? It's still somewhat absorbent, perhaps, but not really much. It really depends on the type of material that the kli underneath the coating is made of. So if it's chivra, made of white material, v'uchma, or black, not very absorbent, shari, then there's no concern of yayin nesach with these kelim, but they're not deemed absorbent. But if it's yoreika, if it's green, then it's asr. Why mishum the mitzrif? Because apparently there's some of the alum stuff is in there. Okay, that's how it gets its green color, which makes it absorbent. V'isbu kartufni, likewise, if you see there are cracks in the kli, little crevices and little cracks, kulu asiru, then it's a problem regardless of its color, because certainly it would absorb through the cracks. Dorash Mereimar. Here comes an interesting, seeming contradiction within one shita, within Mereimar. So on the one hand, when it came to our sugi of Yayin Nesach, Mereimar got up and spoke, and he said, Kunya, these coated kalim, irrespective of color, you're good. Ben Uchma, Ben Chibra, Ben Yeroika, whether it's black, white, or green, Shari, they're deemed to be non-absorbent. Asks the Gemara, but Mereimar himself, when it came to a different topic, came to a question of chametz on Pesach, for a kli that was used throughout the year, it depends on the color, he said. Why is this different? Why is Yayin Nesach different than chametz on Pesach? The same question was asked from Mereimar regarding hani, mani, dekunya, these types of kelim. Mao, ushtamushay, but Pesach can use the all year round kelim for Pesach. Okay, so yoreika l'tibaylach. There's no question about the green ones. They're very absorbent. The mitzarf, the bali, they're filled with this alum and they absorb. Asur, basiri. Ki tibaylach. So the question would be, by the chivri v'ukmi, the white ones, the black ones, what's the alach? My, kiven the isbu, ki isbu ketufni, again, if it has cracks, Loi tibaylach, there's no question of Ali Bali Basiri, they certainly absorb the chametz and they can't be used on Pesach. Tibaylach, the question will be the shi, if they're smooth. My. So again, if it's the white or the black, and it's completely sealed. Amar Luis, he says, look, you can't get away from the fact that it's a klicheres. Any klicheres is highly absorbent, filled with chametz. Anoch chazinelu, look, I myself observed, I was watching these types of kalim, while they were being used for, cooked with, the midyaisi. I noticed the outer surface sort of dripping, it was sort of sweating. And since they were dripping, they were extracting liquid from within. Apparently it goes through the walls. Vadi bali, certainly that's an indication that they absorb from within. And that moisture sort of travels through the walls, all the way to the outside, got serious, so that it can be used for a Pesach. My time, or why? Why can't you just take it and, cook it up again and clean it out? No, Kli Cheres doesn't allow for that, because the residue is so intimately absorbed into the actual residue. HaTorah ha'ida al Kli Cheres, Torah sort of testified regarding these types of containers, that the residue trapped inside the wall will never leave its wall. It can't be extracted. It's the way it is. So if it's used for all year round use, they're doomed for Pesach. You can't use them. Ask the Gemara. Hold it. So why is this different than Yayin Nesach? Rema taught us earlier. All these kalim that are coated with this lead are deemed non-absorbent. You're okay. To use it for kosher wine. And by chametz, he banned them. No, perhaps you'll say, chametz is chametz. V'chitem chametz d'arai. So chametz is also min ha-Torah, so you got to be more strict. Yayin Nesach the Rabban. Yayin Nesach is only the Rabban, so we're more lenient. No. But we know for a fact that the chachamim, when they establish a ban, a iser, a halacha, typically it models, it's patterned after the din d'arai. It works with the same parameters. Called the tikkun Rabban, any takana established by the Rabbanon, Kein Deraisa Tikkun, it was established and modeling the Issa D'Oraisa. So if the Kli is deemed to be an absorbent Kli without recourse for the D'Oraisa for Chametz, certainly for Yayin Nesach, likewise for Yayin Nesach as well. So what's the difference? Answers the Gemara, yeah, there's a difference in circumstance, in the way it was used. Big difference. When it comes to chametz use, tashmish b'chametz, it was used under heat, it was cooked with. Oh, that's really highly absorbent, which has no solution. As opposed to our sugya, we speak about yayin nesach, used with cold. That doesn't absorb as much as when used with heat, in which case, since in this case, it was actually coated as well. We assume it repelled whatever material came into contact with, and you're free to use it as is. Okay, so basically, we have these kalim used by goyim for, let's say, for yayin nesach, and the question is, can we use it for kosher content? So, in some instances, we can safely assume there's no absorption. If the material was non-absorbent, hardened earth, or right, etc., which doesn't really absorb, so a quick rinse, and you're safe. If the assumption is that there was absorption, right? So we have the leather pouches or the clay cheres, these kankanim that have been used by goyim. Certainly, if they were used for a longer period of time, in that case, a rinse wouldn't do the job. You have to do the 3-day water process or slash the 12-month aging and drying process to remove any residue, any moisture, and then it can be used for kosher material. What else can provide an antidote for the yayin nesach content? Well, we have the tzir, the murias, which burns it out. We have the right. We have the machzir on the kishna eish, right? You reheat it until it fully dries up. That also serves as a good solution. And in some cases, we say it's doomed forever, like the clay neser, which are highly absorbent. There's nothing you can do there because it's so saturated with the yayin nesach. Ein lahem tahara olamis. All the best to you and hatzlacha.